How many of you follow Jesus? All right, we need an altar call right now, right now. Father, I pray for you. No, hey, listen, I pray that you're all following Jesus. Remember, a couple weeks ago, we started this whole series out talking about following Jesus through water. Baptize him. We baptized 54 people on that weekend. How many of you know that's awesome? God is so good. Praise God. That's great. That's worth clapping for sure. Absolutely awesome. And then the following week, last week, we came back and we said that we follow Jesus through what? Worship. And worship is the platform from which we do everything, right? We worship God, and therefore we do a lot of other things, but the whole platform that we do it from is worship. Well, today I want to add one more thing to that as far as following Jesus, something that is absolutely vital. And if you've been here very long at all, you've heard me talk about it. I don't know as if I've ever made it a part of a series, but I'm here to tell you, this idea or this principle that I want to give you today is oftentimes understood, and it almost goes without saying. So what happens most of the time is people don't say it. But what I like to do is I like to say it. That way everybody knows what I said so that when I said it, people know what I said. Do you know what I'm saying? All right? So this is something that I believe is absolutely vital to your spiritual walk. It is absolutely vital. Matter of fact, I do not believe you can reach your full potential as a child of God without it. And I mean that for real. Without this right here, you will not become the child of God that God wants you to be. You actually limit your potential in God. And here's what it is. You ready? And it seems like it's pretty deep here. Oh, the iPad's done. All right, here we go. You ready? Fellowship. Come on, everybody say fellowship. Fellowship. How many of you believe fellowship matters? How many of you believe who you hang with matters? All right. Now, before I get into this, I'm talking about Christian fellowship and church fellowship. Now, before I get there, let me just throw out a tease and say it this way. I'm not saying you should not have friends that are sinners. I think every Christian should have some sinner friends. Right? That way you can win them to Jesus, praise God. Okay? But I believe with all my heart that you should have friends that are all makes and models, man. I got friends that, man, they cuss like crazy, they act crazy, they do crazy stuff and all that stuff, and yet I still would classify them in the friend category. Am I trying to win them to Jesus? Of course I am. But listen, I recognize that now I'm not going to win everybody, but I'm going to do my very best to get them, all right? But here's the truth. The truth of the matter is you cannot be the woman or the man of God that God wants you to be without Christian fellowship. You just can't. You just can't. Christianity was not meant for you to be lived on an island all by yourself. It just was never made that way. When Jesus birthed this thing called the church in Christianity in particular, it was meant to be lived out within the confines of a relationship with other believers. You're to know other people that are saved, born again, and love God. You will grow best by being around those kind of people. Let me say it this way. If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, hangs out with other ducks, guess what it is? It's a Christian. That's what we're talking about right here, all right? No, it isn't. It's a duck, of course. And I know a lot of times we use that phrase. We say, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, hangs out with other ducks, all that stuff. We use it in the negative connotation. But today, I'm telling you, as a believer, listen, here's the truth. You need to be around other believers. I have grown in my faith by being around other believers. You will grow in your faith being around other believers. Anything you want to get good at, you have to hang around with other people that are doing that. Right? Come on, am I right? If you want to get good at hunting, you better hang out with some hunters. If you want to get good at fishing, you better hang out with people that fish, right? If you want, I know, okay, women, if you want to get good at making quilts, some of the women are like, really? This isn't the 1800s, Pastor Charlie. Okay, I'm trying to think of something. Hold on. If you want to be good at what? Shopping. If you want to be good at shopping on Black Friday, thanks for rescuing me. Absolutely. You need to hang out with other shoppers. If you want to be good at couponing, It don't even feel right. See, I don't even feel masculine even saying it. I feel like I just lost man points right there saying that stuff. If you want to be good at that stuff, you got to hang out with people that do that, right? Well, Christianity is no different. It was made to be lived within the confines of relationship with other believers. No doubt about it. Listen, here's the reality. Fellowship, what's it mean? What's it mean in the Bible? What's the word? The word fellowship is koinonia, and it means to hold something in common. How many of you know as believers, we have all of us, doesn't matter what brand, doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter what country, zip code, color your skin, whatever. How many of you know we have one thing in common? That we are saved by the same cross and the same blood that flowed through Calvary. How many of you believe that? That you are saved because Jesus came, died, rose again, and is alive today. How many of you know that's our common thread? That holds us all together. And listen, here's the truth. I know this week you probably had a bunch of crazy people. How many of you got crazy family? Raise your hand. All right. Okay, we really need to ponder this a little bit more. On a for real note, how many of you for real, by show of hands, have crazy family? Okay, now listen, keep your hands up. Because those of you that don't have your hands up, what you're saying is you don't have crazy family. But everybody got crazy family. So if you don't have any crazy family in your family, you might be the crazy family. I'm just saying. Because the reality is everybody got crazy family. All right? And if you didn't raise your hand, you might. I'm just saying what everybody else knows. All right? So now check this out. Something in common. You know, with my family, I got some family that I love, and we got some things in common. I also got some family that if I knew how to unfriend people on Facebook and them not know it, because here's the reality, and now I'm not going to tell you who those family members are. Most of them don't live in Indiana. They're in jail. But the truth of the matter is, something in common. You know, as believers, I don't know if you've ever been this way, but I can actually talk to people, and a lot of times I can tell you if they're a believer or not, just by the way they talk. And it's not even so much as what they say. It's just you sense it. It's like, man, I bet they're a believer. I've told Michelle that. I've met people and I've been like, I bet you they're a Christian. And sure enough, you talk to them a little bit more and find out, you go, man, are you saved? You go to church? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah. Are you one of them? Yeah, me too, man. There's something about it, man. There's something about it that on the inside of us, we have something in common. And that thing that is in common is something so much bigger than anything that's on this planet that we share that is flat out awesome and we should celebrate it. Praise God. All right? So that koinonia, that fellowship. See, here's the truth. The local church is the greatest place of fellowship. It is the greatest place of fellowship. And I'm here to tell you that if you don't believe in the power of the local church, man, I don't know what you're paying attention to, because I'm telling you, the local church, it's like the Navy SEAL of the kingdom of God, because it is down in the muck and mire and it does all the dirty work. It gets right into where people live. I know we've got TV preachers. I know you got this and you got that, but I'm here to tell you, it's at the local church level that people's lives are actually transformed. Amen? And listen, here's the truth. You need fellowship with the local church. I'm going to give you three things today that you need fellowship with, all right? You need fellowship with the local church. It's within the confines of the local church. See, the church needs you and you need the church. Now watch this. You ready? How many of you know what the church is, though? How many of you know the church is not the building? The church meets in a building. How many of you know what the church is? Come on, how many of you are part of the church? Yeah, absolutely. How many of you know buildings will come and go, but we are the church? The church is us. The church is the people. And listen, I will tell you this. I love the church, man. I love the church. The church is awesome. I love the people of God. Matter of fact, I hate missing church. I hate missing church. Because why? That's where my peeps are. That's where my family is. That's where the common things that we have in common are. That's where I go and I gather around people. And it's not because I'm the pastor or the preacher. It's because, man, I recognize that you and I, when we get together, man, God loves it when the church is in one accord, one place, jamming. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's in that place that we can thrive in our relationships and actually maximize our potential for God. Now, listen to this. Maybe you don't know this, but how many of you know this right here? Jesus. Right? Jesus. Right? How many of you know Jesus loves the local church? Matter of fact, he started the church. The church was not man's idea. I've heard people say that. Well, the church, you know, the organized church, I'm against it. Well, then you're against Jesus. Because Jesus birthed the church. Jesus started the church. The church didn't start till Jesus died and was resurrected. The church. And for 2,000 years, the church has been meeting together in meetings and rubbing on each other as iron sharpens iron, making each other better, each of us better than we could be on our own, right? I heard this one story about this man who was trapped on an island. He was flying over an island. His plane crashed. He's there. He's the only survivor, and he's sitting there. And he just begins to live life to the best that he can until someone rescues him. Well, about 20 years later, a plane flies over and sees him on this trapped island. So they stop the plane, and they get out and walk over to him, and he survived on this island. And, man, how did you do it? How did you survive on this island? He goes, it was very easy. I just started living. He goes, well, what is that? He goes, well, there's my house. That's where I live, and that's where I do my thing and have my home there. And they go, really? Well, what's that building right there? He goes, well, that's my church. That's my church. That's where I go and I worship God. And he said, well, what's that building right there? He goes, that's the church I left. You get it? He's on an island all by himself. Anyway, see, the reality is we need church because it makes us better. Jesus never meant for anyone to grow their faith outside of the fellowship of the local church. For real. And I know even with us, and I'll tell you why this is really kind of passionate in me this week for sure, is this week we dropped Whitney off in Kansas. All right. Whitney was already out there. I dropped her stuff and that dog out there. All right. So we got her all set up in her apartment and everything, and they're all doing their thing. And I told Whitney, I said, you need to find you a local church. You need to get plugged into a local church. Whit, go find you a place. She goes, no, I'll watch online. And I said, Whitney, that's not church. Now, I know we got people that watch on the internet, watch us here. I think we have something like 150 people every weekend that watch us, okay, which is awesome, and that's great. And yet we got a bunch of people that listen on radio, which is great, which is great. We want people to listen to us on the radio and watch us on the web. But that is not to be a replacement for coming and being a part of the ecclesia, those who are gathered together, who are rubbing up on each other, making each other better. It's not to replace that. We need that. We need that fellowship with other believers for sure. Now, again, we use those means as a way to reach out to people and love on people and all those things. We want to use those things. But I tell you, we have a lot of people who listen by way of radio, which they think this is negative. And here's what they'll say. Pastor Charlie, I listen to you on the radio every week on my way to church. And I say, that's great. They're like, you don't have no problem with that? I say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Listen, I'm thrilled that you're, number one, listening. That's great. Number two, that you're on your way to a local church. You're not staying home, not making church a part of your world. Because I'm telling you, your faith will grow better when it's surrounded by other believers where they're growing their faith. Amen? For sure. So I think it as a compliment. I take it as a compliment, you know? I totally do that people listen on their way to church. It doesn't bother me one bit. Here's what the Bible says about church and about Jesus loving the church. Husbands, love your wives just as what? Christ also what? Loved the church. And what did he do? He gave himself for. What did he do? Gave himself for her. A couple years ago, Michael and I were talking, and Michael's like, I don't want no girlfriend. Well, no girlfriend. Now, since then, he's been bit, but whatever. But at this time, Mark was like, I don't want no girlfriend. I don't want a girlfriend. I don't want no girlfriend. I said, why don't you want a girlfriend? He goes, because I ain't spending my money on no girl. I spend all my money, Valentine's Day, Christmas. I'm not doing all that. I want to spend my money on what I want to spend on. Now, again, things are different now, but at this time. And you know what I looked at him and I said? I said, listen, Mike, here's the truth. You ready, Mike? You don't need a girlfriend. You don't need a girlfriend, Mike. He goes, why do you say that? I said, until you're ready to die. I see. You see how I controlled the situation? Till you're ready to die to self and what you want, you don't need a girlfriend. Yeah. How many of you men have already figured out somebody's got to die? See, the men are scared to raise their hand. They're like, should I? I might die again. No, on a serious note, how many of you men know that in the relationship, somebody has to die? Now, listen to me. The maturity of a man is revealed on how he is willing to die for his bride. The women, I thought women would be like, amen, preach on, Pastor Charlie Hankies. Hanky time. Figured that would come out. Deb, you're single. Doesn't work if you're single. Well, you're hopeful. You want to marry a, what is it, a Mossad? What? I messed up. A Mossad agent. You want an Israel tough special forces guy. Why Israel? I pray that the Lord give you your heart's desire. Okay, so how do you say, it's not Mossad, is it? What did I say? Mossad. Just Mossad. Yeah. Just Mossad. You're turning red. All right, I'll move on. All right, anyway, I'm back. Listen, Christ loved the church, and her Mossad agent will love her, and he'll die for her too, praise God. All right, but here's the truth. The truth is Jesus gave himself for the church. He gave himself. He's willing to die for the church. You know what I mean? And here's the truth. The truth of the matter is, whenever we love the church, we'll lay down ourselves for the church also. And listen, and I'm not saying that, I'm not talking about being a martyr, although that would include that, but I'm not, how many of you know I'm not signing up for that one if I have a choice? Praise God. How many of you know you can't do the will of God without your head? Chop. Okay, here's the reality. The reality is, though, that Jesus loves the church. And I think as believers, we should love what Jesus loved. Because it's the agent of change within the earth that God is using. Amen? Okay, I need to move on. All right, so here's some things that we need to know about it. If Jesus loves the church, shouldn't we love the church? Come on, amen? How many of you know this? If Jesus loves the church, shouldn't we defend the church? Right? Absolutely. If Jesus loves the church, shouldn't we care about the church? You know, and I'm not, when I use that word church, I'm not talking about just Abundant Life Church. I'm talking about the church as a whole. I'm talking about the churches in our city. Can I tell you this? I hope every church in this city has 15 services. I really do. I hope they pack out their buildings. Man, I do. I pray every church in this community thrives and really reaches. Why? Because we are the workforce of the kingdom of God. We are the people that are responsible for the spiritual climate of this city. Right? And if there are more of us gathering more people, how many of you know we can change and transform people's lives? Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, praise God. So it is my heart that we help other churches, man. I'm not an island unto myself, man. I want to see every church survive and thrive for sure. How about this? And shouldn't we seek also its growth and its prosperity, the local church, for sure? Why? Because it's where people come together. So I was beginning to ask myself this. Why don't people love the church? Why do people not like the church? And I'm going to give you some reasons. Number one, you ready? Churches hurt people. How many of you believe that? How many of you have ever been hurt in church? Yeah. How many of you believe I've been hurt in church? Can I tell you, I've been hurt in church. You've been hurt in church. I remember one of the things that whenever I first came out of the military, I was asked to take over a Bible study on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, I had a Bible study, and Sunday morning, I was asked to teach a Sunday school class. So I'm teaching this Sunday school class, and as I'm teaching this, they would take, at this time, we had an elder that would walk people around and introduce them to the church, all right? Now, this church that we were at, you know, I was just a servant. I wasn't, anything other than someone just teaching a Bible study class there. And we got about one visitor a month, maybe, you know, and they usually didn't stay. And again, I'm not here to pick on that. I'm just saying that's the reality of the way it was. So this man was walking this family around. They were new to the church, and they introduced my class. They said, yeah, this is Charlie Riley. And I was like, hi, how are you? And he goes, yeah, he's the wannabe preacher. And in my mind, I was like, well, I've been saved about that long. So I was like, no, I want to be a boxer. Pow! Okay, that was totally flesh, but if for real. You know, I want to punch you in the mouth. But I was like, and I'll be honest with you, it rubbed me so wrong. It rubbed me so wrong. It made me mad. I was upset. Here I am getting out of what I really love. I loved working. I love being in the military. And then I come out to go and become a pastor. And I'm in Bible college. And I'm the wannabe preacher. By the way, their church is like 30 people now. But anyway, all right. Okay, that was totally flesh. I was totally flesh. I probably shouldn't have said that for real. But here's the reality. On a serious note. I had to ask the question of, am I gonna grow through this and get over this, or is this gonna destroy me? Y'all hearing what I'm saying? And guess what I decided to do? I'm gonna grow through it. Guess what I did the next week? I came back. Guess what I taught? I taught my Bible study. Guess what I kept on doing? I kept on rolling. Kept on growing. I was not gonna allow one individual who maybe made an offhand comment, who, whether it was their intentions to hurt me or not, made no difference. I was not going to allow them to rob the potential that I felt that God had in my life. Amen? Amen. What are you saying, Pastor Charlie? I'm going to be real plain. How many people are not attending and a part of a church body now because they got their feelings hurt? And how much potential have we lost in that? And the truth of the matter is, here's the reality. The reality is, they're robbing themselves. Because being a part of a church is the most awesome thing you can ever be a part of. It is something, think about it this way. I was thinking about it, obviously I was out there in Kansas, hanging out, my son-in-law, hanging out on post, MPs, all this stuff, hanging out. And I thought to myself, you know, they're investing in something that's only temporal. But as a pastor, I get to invest in something that's eternal. And listen to this, as a believer in the kingdom of God, as a follower of Jesus, you get to invest in things that are eternal each and every time you connect with another believer. Is that a big deal? It is to me. It is to me. So let me ask you this, on the last point of this, churches hurt people. If you've been married very long, have you ever been hurt? If you've been married more than 2 hours, you've probably been hurt. All right? But do you give up on the marriage? Come on, some people do, but you shouldn't. How many of you know you just grow through it? Amen? All right. So churches hurt people. Of course they do, but it doesn't stop them. Here's the second reason people don't come to church. Church is just not a priority in people's lives. One of the saddest things that I do is sometimes people call me to do a funeral, and it's for someone who's maybe 60, 70, 80 years old, okay? And they ask me to do the funeral for them. And I'll say, do they have a church home? No. Did they attend church? No. I mean, you've been on this planet 60, 70, 80 years, and you've never even contributed anything spiritually? Let me tell you, that puts me in two different worlds. Number one, I am absolutely fearful of their eternal soul. Did they really go to heaven? That's number one. Number two, I think of how sad is it that someone lived their whole life and never got to experience church. Never got to experience all that church is and to be around the people of God, because I'm here to tell you, man, I don't understand anybody that doesn't love church. I love church, man. Love it. I love the people of God. I love hanging out with the church. We got all kinds of people at our church. If you want some crazy people, we got a group for that. If you want some fun people, we got some fun people. If you want some... We got some of that too. We got a whole lot of everything, man. And I just don't understand anybody that can't plug in and find some folks in the church that they can't get around and rally behind and love on and be a part of. And I think, man, to live 60, 70, 80 years and miss out on that opportunity What a shame that is. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And I'll tell you, this right here, this bothers me with kids and young families. I've had people say, Pastor Charlie, we don't go to church on Sunday or Saturday. We don't. Well, we got kids, and that's his family day. So let me ask you this. You'll sacrifice for a football team. You sacrifice to get your kids to the gymnastics. You sacrifice to get them to softball. And we've done all these things, okay? Dance, done it. Praise God, that's over. We sacrifice. We understand. But we always told our kids, church is just as much, as if not more, a priority than all those other things. They are. They are. As little kids, we taught our kids, church is a priority. There was never a question. If you got breath, you're going to church. As little kids, it was easier. As the kids got a little older, it was a little harder. They were like, I don't want to go to church. Here's what I tell them. You want to eat? You guys laugh. I'm for real. Ask my kids. You want to eat? Ask my kids. I've told them ever since they could drive. And when they started driving, I said, you guys can stay home. You guys can stay home. But here's the deal. After church, we're going to eat. If you want to eat, you'll attend a church service. Sounds like a great deal to me. You want to eat, you come to church. If you don't want to come to church, don't call us to eat. See, as a dad, it's a win-win. All right? Now, get this. If they didn't come, we might eat in Indy and go shopping. And guess who wasn't there? Guess who got to spend money on themselves? Mom and dad. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? On a serious note, we told our kids, listen, for real, church is a priority. And as a young person, you have a choice. I'm not going to make you. But if you want to eat, we eat. If not, make yourself something at home. You know what we found with our kids? They want to be a part. They want to be a part. They always want to be a part. They never miss church. They're always here. And we don't twist their arm. We don't beat them down. We don't shake them down. We don't do any of that. What we've done is we've said in their lives since they were a little kid, church is a priority, and we want it to be a priority in their life. Think about it this way. Watch this. As a show of hands, how many of you were brought to church as kids? Raise your hand. Look around, everybody. Look around. Some aren't participating because they're just mean. All right? Now, lower your hands. How many of you, for real, from the time you were 18 on, started going to church? Raise your hands. Okay, can I tell you the overwhelming majority of the people are in here because their parents and their grandparents brought them to church? Amen? Now, those of you that made a decision at 18 and older to come to church, praise God. But can I tell you, man, you'll have an opportunity to have children, and I think you should make it a priority in their life, too, to be in the local church. Amen? How are they going to learn about God, man? How are they going to learn about God? All right, here's the last reason people don't come to church. Ready? Sin. Should sin stop anybody from coming to church? How many of you know Jesus died for our sin? How many of you know we all got a little bit of something that we have to deal with in our life? Right? Absolutely. But can I tell you, there are, well, let me say it this way. John 3:20 says this. For everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their deeds should be what? Exposed. Get this. Check this out. Great story. I was came out of the military, started working at Wabash National over in Lafayette. Started working there. I'm on third shift. There's a guy who works in the wash bay. I'm in the finishing group, and I'm working there, and then there's a guy in the wash bay. And the wash bay guy, he worked all by himself. He had a pressure washer. He would pressure wash the semi-trailers as they would come off the assembly line. And he was an Indian. And when I say Indian, he was dot, not feather. Ooh, he was dot, not feather, all right? Indian guy. And some of you will get that later, but anyway. You got to distinguish Indian, all right? But okay, so he's an Indian guy, and he's from India, all right? And so one night I get to talking to him, and he's like telling me about his gods, because in India he's Hindu, so they got multiple gods. And I'm like, oh really? And I'll be honest with you here, from I'm telling you, as God is my witness, the truth. I was not trying to convert him. I was just telling him. I was actually really intrigued at where he was coming from with it, you know, on spiritual things. So he's telling me about his gods, and I'm like, really, you got multiple gods? I said, in Christianity, we only have one God, and that's Jehovah God himself. And he manifests in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And, you know, Jesus is the Savior and all that. And he would tell me more about his Hindu gods, do this and do that. And there's a God for everything in Hinduism. And he was telling me all about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. And we're going back and forth. Anyway, conversation's done. In my world, everybody just goes on about their business. So the next day rolls around. I show up to work. I'm walking back into the shop back there in the area. And I'm like, hi. And he's like, hey, like yelling at me, like mad, up in my face. And I told him, I said, you touch me, break your fingers. But I said, this guy is so irate, they moved him to another shift. To another shit. They didn't even want me and him in the same place. I told, don't touch me. You can yell, whatever. Don't touch me. But he was like, anyway. So this goes on. And anyway, I asked the manager who kind of stepped in all of it and kind of sorted it all out to the best. I said, what was his problem? He said, he didn't like your God. I was like, what? He got that out of that conversation? I was like, wow. And then, so that night, I was like, Lord, what did I do wrong? Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? I'm like, what did I do wrong? What did I miss in that equation? Where did I go wrong? I wasn't really trying to convert him. I wasn't telling him even how to be saved. I was just telling him about God. And the Lord brought this verse to my heart. And he says, you know what? It's the light in you that he hated. It's the light that he hated. And I thought, man, that is a powerful thing. And that was the first time that the light actually, the light came on. The light came on in my mind to the fact of this, and it'll make sense as we apply it in a broader text. It hit me that some people may not like me, not because of me. They might not like me because of the light that's in me. Can I tell you, that's exactly the Middle East problem with America. It doesn't matter what you say religion-wise. They don't like America because it's light in a dark world. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? They don't like the light. They don't like the fact that a majority of America is still Christian. Okay? They don't like that. And we try and think about it. What do we do to offend people? It isn't about what we do to offend people. It's the fact that there is a real devil that's really on the loose, and he's full of darkness, and he hates light. And anytime he can, he wants to destroy the light. And so you walk up into your business or you walk into your place where you work, don't be surprised if some people, whether you, no matter how much you befriend them and you try and get along with them and all that, they may not like you. Not because of you, but because of the light that's in you. Say, what do you do with those kind of people, Pastor Charlie? Well, you shoot them. That's what, no. No, you don't shoot them. You pray for them. Pray for them. Praise God. See, you guys were going there, and I just let you go. Here's the last verse. I'm going to stop here in just a few minutes, but listen to this. The Bible has a promise for those of you that love church and that are planted in church, that are planted in the relationships of the church. And here's what it is. The righteous shall flourish like a what? Palm tree. You know, every time I see palm tree, I think warm weather. Can I get a witness? You guys are leaving when? December what? 8th. They're leaving the 8th to go to Florida. They're flying down there. Praise God. How many of you going with them? All right. That's about when the weather will hit. All right. So the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Now watch this. He shall grow like the cedars of Lebanon. Watch this. For those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall what? Shall flourish in the courts of our God. Here it is. Do you want to flourish in your faith? I know that we talk about following Jesus, and we talk about giving, and we talk about baptism, and we talk about all that. But you know, most people don't connect the idea that if you are going to follow Jesus, you have to be planted in the house of God. You have to love what Jesus loves. Jesus loves the local church, so you should be planted in that local church. Say, Pastor Charlie, I don't know if I want to plant myself here. Well, good. Let's find a place where you can plant yourself. And I mean that with all sincerity. Right? We want you to plant yourself here And if not here, plant yourself somewhere. I've told people, they're like, well, I don't go to your kind of church. I don't know what kind of church we are. We don't have snakes. But anyway, you know, I did mess with somebody in second service. They brought a family member as a visitor. And they're like, hey, here's so-and-so, my daughter. And she was probably 20, 22. I said, hey, that's great. Make sure you show her how to handle the snakes when we get them out. She's like. See, because, hey, how many of you know, people never know what they're walking into when they walk into a church. I get it, man. I get it. I understand how people would feel like, ooh, all right, I totally get it, totally get it. Now, where was I going with that? planting and being planted in the house of God. If you're going to flourish in the kingdom, if you're going to be an effective Christian, you have to be planted in the house of God. You have to. It's impossible to live in a culture like we have and grow your faith when everything is against your faith and everything's working against your faith. Our culture will suck the life of God and the faith of God right out of you. You need the house of God, and the house of God needs you. We need each other to grow our faith. Amen? I'll tell it to you this way. Everything I've learned about God is from the Bible. Is that fair? But now watch this. Everything I've seen people walk through hard times has increased my faith has been through watching people around me. Follow me? Follow me? So it's one thing to read about faith in the Bible. It's another to see people apply it and see them get results in their life. See, you can't get that on an island. You have to be around other believers to see it so it'll encourage your faith. Amen? Look at this next verse. It says this. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, but I don't see anybody in here old. I just made friends with a whole bunch of people. All right? Watch this. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Green, the translation is green and oily. You'll be fat, green, and oily by the time you get old, praise God. You'll be an ogre. That's what that's saying. No, honestly, in that culture, that meant a lot. That meant you'll be prosperous. You'll be blessed even in an old age. For sure, you will. You will. Look at this. To declare the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is none unrighteousness in what? In him. See, here's the truth. The reality is this. In my world, I need to have fellowship with the local church continuously. You ready? And that does two other things. It causes me, get this, to have fellowship, watch this, fellowship with each other. How many of you know by being connected to church, you connect to each other, right? Connect to each other, for sure. And here's the last thing I'm going to give you right here. We have fellowship with Christ when we're together. You believe that? Look at this. I'll give it to you this way, and I'm about out of time, but I want to give it to you. Now, you are the what? Body of Christ. Members what? Individually. Do you guys agree with that verse? You guys agree? How many of you believe that we're all different parts of the body of Christ, but we are one body? Right? So if I had to say it this way, maybe you can understand it this way. Would it be weird for the feet to show up on Sunday, but not the head? Or maybe the arms, but not the legs. How many of you know we are the body of Christ, right? And we need to be together at least once a week, praise God, right? Why? We grow each other. We keep growing each other. Here's the last thing I'm going to give you. Matthew 18 says this, and I'm done. Matthew 18, 19. Again, I say to you, this is Jesus, if two, a believer on the earth agree, that is, this is the Amplified Bible, by the way, are of one mind in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done by my Father who is in heaven. Watch this, next verse. For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among. Do you believe that?